is Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday. This is episode 180. Holy crap. And this week we are discussing upcoming releases, including Insurgent, Do You Believe?, and The Gunman. We have a spoiler-free review of Chappie. All right, from the Outside In topic this week, with all the new Ghostbusters news, which we'll explain when we get there, we're going to talk about the shared cinematic universe, and are we getting a little carried away with this whole idea? We're going to have latest movie and TV news, as always, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. I have no idea what shared universe I'd be in, but it'd probably be Indiana Jones. Joining me today are my fellow hoes, Brian Williams. What do you think you'd be? Where would you be if you could put yourself in a cinematic universe? It'd be a Marvel movie?
Golly. Yeah. Can I pick the character?
Nope.
Or just
nope.
live in the world that...
You just live in the
that
world.
That takes place. Huh?
And Scotty Clark, we already answered that. It's Marvel. Scotty Clark, you are Back to the Future, I'm guessing.
Okay.
That seems where you would fit. And Justin McCumber, returning after a sabbatical. Matrix, be my guess.
Star Wars, bitch.
All right. I gave you the option. It was one of those.
All dogs go to heaven.
They're about to if they keep that up.
this is the first time we've all four been together in a month.
Wow.
No tears anywhere. All right.
Nope.
Me and Brian are strong, right?
What do you mean strong?
Well, we're the only two that's been here this whole past month that there's been, you know, personnel shortages.
As we say in fourth grade, we're the common denominators.
Would that be your band name?
No.
That would not be hip at all. Speaking of teachers, did you guys see that substitute teacher is doing like 90 days in jail for playing the ABCs of death to her school kids?
Yeah, like multiple times.
Yeah, like five times. She said she turned her back on the... I didn't know it was so bad and gratuitous because I turned my back on it the whole time.
Was the volume off?
Well, I turned my back, I put on my Bose noise-canceling headphones, put on sunshades, and then napped.
She's like a Dr. Dre commercial at this point. That's
I'm picturing this old woman walking through class. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
This kind of news just popped right before we started recording. But apparently Tron 3 is going to go before cameras this fall. Scott, Justin, you two are like the Tron people. Do you want to see this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally excited to hear that because I actually just rewatched Tron Legacy during my illness this last week leading into this week. I caught up on a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows, but Tron Legacy was one of them. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, man, I wish they would do another one of these. And lo and behold, they're gonna. So I'm happy to hear that.
Do you want
They felt your Blu-ray player in the cosmos.
Spinning it up.
Yeah. They're like, Justin's watching it. We got to make a sequel. Let's announce it.
Where are they going to get all the neon? Do you want Jeff Bridges back?
I don't know.
I think he's integral to the storyline, but only if he's going to talk normal, please.
You don't want Rooster Cogburn and Tron?
No, I don't need his... You know, his old crusty Western dude. I don't need his old crusty medieval knighty looking dude. Just be fucking Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Like his character from Tron was kind of how I pictured Jeff Bridges being in real life, just with a little more weed.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe some drums or those bowls that you rub around the edge and it makes those sounds.
He sounds.
Wasn't he doing that though in that commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we said those things. Brian.
Way to keep up, Brian. Hey, Brian, can you, real quick for me, I haven't heard it in a while. Can you do the, it's not Rooster Cogburn, but it always makes me think of Rooster Cogburn, the, I said boy.
I say boy. That?
Yeah, I like that. It just makes me laugh.
I don't know about
you guys, but I just got shivers.
It's so close. That was Oscar gold.
Of powerful.
Speaking of our glorious show, Podcast Awards, we were nominated for Best Movies Film, thanks to all of you. And the winner is determined by a popular vote. So if you would, go to podcastawards.com, scroll down, find Best Movies Films, scroll down, put your name and email, and then click Submit. And then, of course, verify us. You should get an email saying to verify your vote. If you don't, then vote again, because it might not have registered, because there seems to be some glitches with this little mechanism.
That's what you like to hear. There's glitches in the voting.
Shh. Let's not go Republican, Scott. Come on.
We're going to be hanging chads at the end of this? Or
there probably will be. Seems like it.
That's my porn name.
Hanging Chad.
Oh. Hanging Chad.
That's funny. Mine's Vanilla Kickstand.
You're going to make me start coughing, and y'all don't want to hear that.
Brian, do you have one? Feel free to share. Everybody's letting it out.
Just Brian. I don't need a fancy name to grab your attention. I'm sleeping at that.
Wow. All right, well, let's go to movie and TV news. Brian, are you ready for The Expendables, the TV series? Because it's apparently coming.
I don't know if I'm ready. It's apparently, instead of movie icons, action icons, we're going to be getting TV action icons. It's supposed to be an event series. I'm assuming that probably means some sort of six episode, eight episode, 10 episode type of one shot thing, kind of like a True Detective type style, where it's just basically kind of a one shot deal. Initially, it sounds good, but the problem I've got with it is any action, quote unquote, action hero I just about think about, there is a certain amount of campiness to them. And when you mix all that campiness together with 6, 12, however many people there's going to be.
Because there wasn't any camp just, with the movie action heroes?
No.
No. No. Well, there was a good balance of action and stuff. But no. There wasn't as much camp as what these TV actors will bring.
Who do you think they're gonna have?
Bucket loads of them. I mean, you think about there's people like Mr. T, Magnum PI. There was even some speculation you could bring in somebody like Scott Bakula from Quantum Space.
Quantum Leap.
Wow.
Quantum Space?
Quantum Leap.
Yeah, we're going to need you to switch bodies on Saturday.
So, I don't know. It's the people, you know, and then I think shows like The A-Team, I think Riptide, Simon and Simon. I'm thinking, you know, and I'm just thinking these, golly, there's,
oh my God, David Hasselhoff, make it work again.
David Hasselhoff, yeah.
I wonder if he's still got the red shorts or the red little trunks.
Oh, I'm sure they're waiting to be bust out.
He's practicing his slow walk or run right now.
Please tell me Lee Majors is still alive.
Is he?
He is still alive.
We have got to get the unknown stuntman working in this.
If you watched your upcoming attractions, you'll see he is in one of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so no. Take it to the one.
Oh, snap.
It wasn't the one I had to watch, so fuck it.
Fatality.
Should have been the one he had to watch.
Are you doing a Mortal Kombat reference?
Yeah, because I just ripped that motherfucker's spine out. Yeah. Boom.
I'm not, as much
finish
as I...
Finish him, Brian. Finish him.
As much as I love the series, the movie series, I don't want that. I mean, give me another 24. That'd be great. But I don't want to see a bunch of has-been TV action stars. And I know that, wow, you're a total hypocrite because you like the movies. Yeah, I'm cool with it. I'll go back and relive those because those were done really well. And it could possibly work. But I sure the hell don't want to see a David Hasselhoff movie or Kevin Sorbo TV show, I mean.
God, I just threw up a little bit. Kevin Sorbo.
You know he's going to be in it. He's free. He's got nothing to do, and he's still in good shape. Ugh. You have Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman come by to patch him up. I don't know. Chuck Norris.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
I'm combining genres, man.
Apparently, that's nowhere near action.
This is how creativity works, all right? We're building a world.
Keep telling yourself that.
Oh, all led by the super sleuth, Angela Lansbury.
Ooh, I like it. Murder, and then there's explosions.
That's right.
All right, let's move on to something that people actually watch. The Walking Dead is a juggernaut. I mean, huge. It's a phenomenon.
phenomenon.
Like all juggernauts, Hollywood wants their cash. So there's a spinoff coming. It's coming out this summer. They just started filming it, and it's already been two seasons have already been ordered before it even airs. Justin, for you as a fan, does that give you faith in the show that we're getting something special, or are you like, maybe you guys should just wait until we see something?
Well, of course, we've not seen anything. So I'm hoping that those people who work at AMC who are in charge of these sorts of things are seeing some really good stuff, that they're confident in it, that they love it, and that they, you know, through whatever polls and whatnot that they've got access to, that all that leads them to believe that this is a show that it not only will existing fans of The Walking Dead want to watch, but maybe pick up some new people who maybe were put off by, I don't know, the Alabama location or something, the Georgia location rather. So I don't know, but it does make me hopeful that they're wanting to lock these people down early. And judging from just what little I've seen is in so far as pictures go, the cast, the three that they've shown so far, I like who I've seen. Kim Dickens is an actress that I first really kind of fell in love with on Deadwood. And then she showed up in Lost, and then she shows up in Gone Girl. Oh, she was also so good in Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. And she is an incredible actress. I think she's fantastic. So I'm glad to see her. And Cliff Curtis is one of those guys who can – he's got that kind of face and complexion that in one movie he's like a Latino gangbanger, but in another movie he's someone from the Middle East. So he's got a lot of range to his ability. I like him. I love that it's in New York – or not New York, but Los Angeles.
Do you – why do you love that?
Because I'm fucking tired of the forest. If I have to watch Rick Grimes and the rest of them trudge through any more woods, I'm about to pull my hair out. I love The Walking Dead, but I am tired of zombies and trees. I have reached my fill of it, and this is a completely different kind of location. So hopefully it'll, you know, bring something fresh to the AMC zombie story that they're weaving, and it'll, you know, kind of renew my love for the series, because as much as I love it, these past couple of seasons, there is a part of me that wishes something drastic would change. And it's really so far not happening on that show, but maybe with the addition of this one, I'll get a bit of that feel.
What about you, Brian? You're a huge Dead fan.
Yeah, I am. And I will admit, this is one of the things that bugs me about them walking through the woods, and all of a sudden they get snuck up on by a walker that nobody hears him breaking limbs and twigs and straw and leaves and that kind of stuff until he's 2.5 feet away from him. I live in Georgia. I walk through the woods. I know how loud it is, and it's very loud. So when these people are just standing there talking and then, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, 14 here comes
of
a zombie
lunge.
Yeah.
Them.
They're just out of the brush. I just roll my eyes. So the sense of being in a concrete jungle, so to speak, I see the opportunity where, all right, well, their walking movements at least should be theoretically more quiet, easier to just,
to
stumble
in
upon somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, people in the Walking Dead series apparently have a hearing issue because they can't even tell the difference between the sound of a zombie and the sound of a human.
It's different.
That's apparently a big skill to have if you can do that, which doesn't make any sense to me. But
do you want to see it, Scott? Are you in simpatico with these guys?
I mean, I'm not jumping up and down for it. I'm excited for it, for the prospect more of seeing two or maybe even three or more series from different parts of the map.
Oh, three or more? So it's like CSI Walking Dead?
No, not. Well, I've not seen those all come together. I want to see them like converge somewhere in the middle and those characters interact and run into each other later on. Do they do that in CSI?
No, I don't.
Every now and then, yeah.
Right,
TWD, Toronto.
That's what I was thinking.
Des Moines.
No, but
Spokane.
They could do things like I doubt they'd want to do London considering the 28 days and 28 months or weeks, but they could do Paris. There's all sorts of foreign locations that I would love to see how you know, a zombie outbreak might go in some foreign location. I think, you know, they could take the story in so many different locations and ways, you know, maybe bring in some location that's where it first broke out, you know, where was ground zero,
mm-hmm. right?
That kind of well, stuff. There's things they can do.
Well, the thing about like Georgia, like what Brian was saying, you've got a lot of wide open spaces. Imagine someplace that's a lot more densely populated, you know, like Japan or something like that. Imagine
they just cut in raw Godzilla footage and everybody's just pointing and screaming. Boom.
Yeah.
Saved. I just saved them $1 million.
I mean, think of paying all the extras to do that. It would just be, it would be awesome to see.
I don't know, man. I mean, how many zombie motifs can you have? I mean,
and come on, we've been seeing that for the past 5 years, and they're still doing it.
And it does get tiring. I'm really concerned about another series just diluting the brand, I guess, so to speak. Because I really let me finish my thought for a second. You guys have been talking for 10 minutes. You've got two series now, and the second series, we're not really sure what the direction is going to be, but you've got this first series where I think they have a really good footing. They kind of know the direction they're going. If this new one tends to do something different, then I'm excited and more interested. Just the setting isn't enough for me. I need more than just a bunch of people loafing through the landscape trying to survive. I want a different dynamic than the other show, if that makes sense.
Well, this is supposedly a prequel, so it does take place before what's going on right now.
Is it officially a prequel?
From what I've read, it is. Okay. So if that is the case, then we will have a slightly different dynamic. We will have more, I guess, panic, more large mass crowds in uproars and that kind of stuff. So
now, when you say prequel, is it a prequel to the epidemic or a prequel to Rick, where Rick woke up?
Well, if it's a prequel to the epidemic, it's just a bunch of people standing around going through their daily lives. That'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it?
Then it would be CSI. Yeah. All right. Good call.
So, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know exactly when in the time frame it is, but I do know it's supposedly a prequel. And, you know, so yeah, we won't have the mass coverage of walkers or biters or zombies, whatever the case, whatever the Los Angelian people will call them. So.
They call them Republicans.
Yeah. Wow.
Ooh.
Well, that's Scott at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
I'm saying that's what they'll call them. Huh. I'm saying that's what I would call them.
Moving on, there's a book called The Shack. Now, I've never heard of it, but apparently it's hugely popular. And it's a book centered around a man who is visited by God. And God was just cast as Miss Octavia Spencer. Nobody tell the Westboro people. Scott, what is this book about, and is she a good fit?
Well, this is a new one on me as well. I've never read the book or even heard about it until this was announced. But the book came out in 2007, and like you said, a man's visited by God. But there's a little bit more backstory before that. Apparently, this guy's daughter in the story is abducted during a family vacation. They don't solve the case, but there's some clues in a shack, which is where the book gets its name. That lead him and others to believe that she was possibly murdered, but the case was never solved. Fast forward 4 years, and the man gets a mysterious note that is apparently from God, telling him that he should go visit the shack again, which he does kind of begrudgingly, or against his better judgment. And apparently that's where the story starts to get really interesting. Again, I haven't read it, so I'm kind of assuming I don't want to know anymore until I've either read the book or seen the movie, but. That's the synopsis that I picked up on, and apparently Octavia Spencer is going to be playing God. So apparently he does meet God. So,
and he leaves stick-it notes. Yeah. I've never heard of God leaving notes. Here, I'll meet you at the shack. I would be concerned.
Did leave a note. It's called the Bible.
You know what I'm saying. If I came home and there's like a note on the table that says, hey, meet me at that shack in the middle of the woods, signed God, I would question that.
Yeah,
that would be debatable in my mind. Like, hey, surely there's got to be better forms of communication to a guy that's all powerful, or gal, as the case may be, that's all powerful. Maybe he could call cellular.
Well, why don't you write your own book?
I should. I'll make it exactly the same, but I'll just change that one little thing.
It'll be email.
It'll be an email.
God, the real Gmail.
Yep.
Wow.
I kind of want to get a take from some of our listeners.
Really funny. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that was actually pretty good.
That was really funny, and nobody laughed. They should be laughing right now.
Coming from an atheist.
Sorry, Scott, what were you saying?
That's okay. I kind of want to get a feel from some of our listeners. I know I've read a couple comments about it, but more just kind of praise for the book. But I don't know how the book characterizes God. You know, Octavia Spencer, I've seen her, you know, in The Help, and I've seen her in some other things. Mostly what I've seen her do is kind of, I don't know how to say it, you know, like sassy. You know what I mean? And is that what we're going to get?
Sassy
that?
God.
Or is she gonna play a more serious role? I don't know. I'd like to kind of hear how that character plays in the book to see if it's going to make a good fit.
Anybody else have any thoughts on this one? I like how Justin's like, nope.
Anybody? I don't want to get in trouble.
I don't think God listens to this podcast.
No, but enough people do who believe in him that I don't want to.
You don't want the emails? The
Gmails? No, I don't.
All right. All right, well, let's go to Brian. Oh, wait, before we go, came out today that Tim Burton is going to be directing another remake, and he's going to be doing a live-action version of Dumbo for Disney. Anybody think that he should stay away from remakes for a while?
Yes. Stay away from Disney for a while.
Johnny Depp with floppy ears? You know that's going to happen. Somebody's debate. They're pitching it right now, and Burton's like, here's what we can do. We can reestablish Depp. Slap some ears on him. He can be just like an elephant.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I saw this was, how are you going to do this? If it's live action, they can't use real elephants, right? There's just no way.
And there's flying ones, no.
Well, yeah. Well,
and I thought, man, there's just no way to make that look even remotely real if you're doing live action, if you're going to do CG or something.
Did you, but not to bring it up again, but did you see Guardians of the Galaxy? Because there's like a talking raccoon. And a tree.
Yes, but
have you seen any of these? What is it, buddy? These dog movies where these dogs are talking. They're using actual animals. They're just doing computer stuff to make them do whatever it is to wear spacesuits or play soccer.
Well, that was going to be my point. Is that was my initial thought, and then I thought, well, you know what? That Paddington movie that came out recently, which I didn't see, but I keep hearing that bear looks freaking real. Mm-hmm. You know, and if they can do that, they could pull it off. I mean, they've come a long way in terms of making animation looks like it actually does fit into the environment instead of it being like Pete's Dragon kind of thing that they used to do, where they put actual animation, like hand drawn animation, into a live thing. It's come a long way, and it's getting more believable. I'm interested to see what they do, but I don't know. Dumbo isn't one of those that are like. I haven't seen it in over a decade, so it's not one that I hold a special place in my heart that I got to see Dumbo again.
I mean, the last thing I want to see is a live elephant get killed by the hunter in the woods, you know. So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Are you mixing up Dumbo with Bambi?
Yeah, that's a different movie.
On purpose, God damn it.
He did that on purpose.
Joke killer. Good Lord. Bucket of water.
You guys are talking about special effects. I'm more concerned with the Tim Burton factor. Is this the guy you want leading your reinvention of a classic? I mean, I know Disney has tons of faith with, I mean, Justin, you pointed that out, that he needs to stop dealing with Disney. They have tons of faith in him, but he's remade, I don't know how many things, and none of them were really fun, or they may have made a lot of money, but they weren't exceptionally well done.
Did Dark Shadows make a lot of money?
No, but the Willy Wonka one did. Planet of the Apes financially did okay, just critically was hammered. And then what was the other one? He did one, Alice in Wonderland. Wasn't that him?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was so terrible.
It's like that was on. That
was playing at the doctor's office when I went, almost made me worse.
It made you sicker.
Yep.
Like, I think it's terminal.
Turn this shit off.
I don't want to live in this world.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. All right. April 24th, John Travolta dons a Nicolas Cage-esque hairpiece and walks out of prison only to be sucked back into a life of crime as he enlists his father and son in the heist of the century. That's what they're calling it. Anyway, Aaron, what do you think about this little painting, thieving, forgery movie?
The art movie called The Forger?
Yeah.
John Travolta's hairpiece looks ridiculous. And I agree with you that it totally looks like Nick Cage. Ty Sheridan, I'm a big fan of Ty Sheridan. I like Chris Plummer. I like John Travolta before he got super weird, which he totally is right now. He's extremely weird. And Anson Mount is in this. Did you see that from Hell on Wheels?
Yeah, it took me a couple of quick scenes because it doesn't show. It's quick flashes when it shows him. And, mm-hmm. and that's one of my big draws for this is because both you and I are both big Anson Mount fans.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and so I just want to say I kind of brought him to y'all's attention
yes.
back in the day.
Yes, Brian. So he should be Batman. We remember. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want that just reminded. So anyway, I'm really conflicted with this because this looks like a crap movie. It does. It just looks like a bad movie, but there are so many good people in this movie. You know, I mean, like you say, Ty Sheridan, Christopher Plummer, I mean, even John Travolta, I still like John Travolta. It just looks, he just, one minute he's got an accent, the next minute he doesn't. That's already bothering me just in the trailer. I don't know. I'm literally like 50,
somewhere in the middle. Watching the trailer and he'll tell you where you can see it. Watching the trailer, the entire thing that I got from John Travolta's performance is he's doing a greatest hits version of himself, where, you know, when you saw him come back in Pulp Fiction and he was so cool. And then he had that nice run of like 5 years where he was like the guy. This looks like he's trying to bring back every mannerism, every tick, everything that he had during that time to make himself relevant again. And it just doesn't work. And I want to see the movie because Anson Mount's in it, not John Travolta. Right. That's the sad part. That's right. My tally.
Yeah. Well, one more time. It does come out April 24th. Next up, we finally get a better look at the upcoming Disney movie Tomorrowland, which opens May 22nd, and it stars George Clooney. And does it really matter if anybody else is in it? Because I think Clooney is one of those few people that, let's just, you know, he is one of those few stars that we've talked about that's enough to just make you go see a movie, no matter what the subject matter is. But basically, he lives in some sort of, not even sure, apparently it's a future, but it's not sure when or where, whatever, just it's some different reality type thing. And their future is dying every second. And basically he kind of helps a young teenager save the future. And Justin, as our resident sci-fi expert, how does this one wet your whistle?
Well, what I want to really say that what I love most about this trailer is that it showed a lot of beautiful imagery, and it threw a lot of different story elements at you, but when it was over with, I was still no more sure of what the movie is actually about than I was when I saw the first teaser. I mean, there's talk about a future that may or may not be. There's people after George Clooney who's apparently hiding out in a Unabomber shack. This girl somehow gets a pin, but who gave it to her? What does she have to do? I still really don't know what this movie is about, but everything that it shows is so incredibly interesting and mysterious that it makes me want to see it even more than I did before I saw the trailer. It's very successful in that it gets me excited, but it doesn't do the typical trailer thing of ruining what the movie is all about by spoiling everything right up front. I'm still no sure. I mean, Scott, do you know what this movie is about?
No, I'm actually in the same boat. That initial teaser trailer was really enough to get me, yep, I'm on board, and I couldn't keep away from this from the new trailer to watch it, and I feel like I'm even a little more confused than I was when I started. But that's not a bad thing. I feel like other trailers or other movie makers and trailer makers need to watch this and be like, "This is how you get me to want to watch your movie without giving every detail away." It looks better and better. It looks gorgeous. I thought I kind of had a little bit of an idea, and it totally threw it on its head. Totally put me in a different direction. I'm a little bit wishing that I hadn't seen this trailer, because it would have been awesome to kind of just go into this movie completely fresh without having seen any of the imagery except for that little flash of what looked like a guy on a jetpack from the teaser, and just mm-hmm. going in completely fresh, knowing absolutely nothing. But But I still don't regret that I did, because I still don't know what's going on, and I'm kind of on blackout at this point.
And Brad Bird is a director that, for me, has really yet to do wrong. So I'm incredibly excited by the cast and the crew and the mysteriousness of this beautiful sounding story.
Sounds good. So you guys can watch these trailers and those from recent episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Have a thought or anything you want to talk about? Tweet us at @H_Outsider. Go on to facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Join our group. Join our page. Have fun. Interact with us. And email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
I want Justin and Scott to duel.
Well, I want, first off, fuck off.
What?
I heard what Scotty did.
Oh.
With my own ears. And I don't know what that bullshit was, but I didn't appreciate it.
But a lot of people did, though.
I feel like I was somehow insulted. I don't know exactly how I was, but I felt it, that it was there. So y'all can all just leap off the end of my dick.
I thought it was a homage.
Well, it's a short walk.
It's a very short walk, but it's a long drop. Anyway, let me take over my territory again. We have got three movies that are going to be coming out on March 20th. The first one, Insurgent. Now, this is the sequel to, was it last year or the year before when we got?
Last year.
Was it just last year?
Yeah, it was just last year.
Okay. Yeah, this is the sequel to Divergent. Beatrice Pryor must confront her inner demons and continue her fight against a powerful alliance which threatens to tear her society apart with the help of others on her side. Directed by Robert Switke, and it again stars Shailene Woodley, Miles Teller, and Theo James, with Naomi Watts and Jai Courtney, and of course the lovely Kate Winslet. Brian, remind me how you felt about Divergent, and are you excited to see this sequel, or are you ready to go out and just divert to something else?
I was entertained enough with Divergent. And kind of fascinated with the basic concept of their society. It felt pretty cookie cutter-ish, though, the basic story plot, you know, her travels and everything. But I'm intrigued enough to where I'm curious about some of the background stuff, like why do they have the big wall, and why is Chicago surrounded by a giant wall? What's out there? What are they protecting themselves from, or whatever's going on, whatever, what's supposedly going on outside the walls? But the one thing that bugs me, though, and I know it's a ploy for 3D, but it's watching her jump through that glass and the shattering thing. It just looks bad. Does that bother anybody else, or do y'all even?
No, it doesn't bother me, but it's marketing. I mean,
I get it. It's kind of like some of the problems I had with Twilight. As much money as that franchise is making, surely they could spend a few extra dollars and upgrade the special effects. And at least maybe on TV, maybe on the big screen it works. Maybe in 3D it's glorious. But watching the trailer, it just looks like bad special effects.
Did anybody else notice that she cut her hair like right after Jennifer Lawrence did? It just feels like she's just trying to mimic her every move.
Well, I think you've been watching E too much.
I might have been. Right after the Kardashians, they brought that point up, and I was just like, what? Get back to Kanye.
You need to take TMZ off your home page.
Bruce Jenner.
Oh, God.
The original one I actually just watched a couple weeks ago. It was like on HBO, and I don't know. It didn't grab me like some other ones, like Hunger Games and some other young adult books that we've read. So I'm not like super invested in this world. It's one I'll probably eventually check out, but I'm not even as interested as Brian is in seeing what's, you know, on the other side of the wall. And even he sounds kind of just mildly interested. So I'm slightly below mildly interested.
I liked Divergent, but isn't this the one, Justin, where you said the book series, now you're not speaking in the movie series, but the book series ends really not well.
That's a third one, isn't it?
Well, the third book, Allegiant, was just dreadfully awful. So I don't know what they're going to do with the movie. I'm actually kind of curious to see Allegiant just to see how they handle it in a theatrical version. Maybe they'll get rid of all the BS that made the book so bad and present something good. But like they have done with every other one of these series, Allegiant will be divided into parts one and two.
Of course it will. Of course it will.
Yeah. Can't do a third book without making it into two films.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I liked Divergent, the book. I liked the film well enough. I thought that Insurgent was a good enough book. So I'll watch the movie definitely, but it's not going to be one that I'm going to want to rush out to a theater and get opening weekend with all the screaming tweens. I don't need that in my life.
Nobody needs that hell.
Right. Speaking of hell, Do You Believe in Love? Directed by Jonathan Gunn, starring Ted McGinley, Mira Sorvino. When a pastor is shaken by the invisible faith of a street corner preacher, he is reminded that true belief always requires action. His response ignites a journey that impacts everyone it touches in ways that only God could orchestrate. Scotty, do you believe?
No. This
your parents are going to be very upset.
They are.
This looks like a made-for-TV movie, and every scene in this trailer just felt like it was more intense than the last. Like, that's all this movie is full of, is just intense scene, intense scene, intense scene. There's nothing but condescending people talking down to other people for like the whole movie. I don't need to see that. If I want to see that, I'll just watch you guys on Facebook.
That's a fair argument. I looked at this. I tried to respond. I actually thought, was it God's Not Dead? That wasn't too bad. It wasn't I wouldn't call it a good movie, but it was interesting. Like it was.
I think it was called God is Dead.
God is Dead, whichever one it is.
I think.
No, it's called God's Not Dead.
Yeah, it's not your movie, Justin. It's what we saw.
Oh, right.
God
right,
is Not Dead. And I thought that was an interesting take on a religious film. I mean, they were kind of presenting two arguments, even though it was a little one-sided. This just looks preachy and just jamming everything in there to make you feel the faith. And mm-hmm. any movie that starts with starring Ted McGinley pretty much loses me from the get-go.
Who?
Ted McGinley. He's like the guy that kills every show that he's ever been on.
Most people might remember him from Al Bundy. Yeah.
Yeah. Al Bundy's
Married with Children.
Or Best Friend or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, but let's not forget who else is in this. Brian Bosworth.
And Fat Hobbit. Fat Hobbit's in it too. Sean Astin's
oh,
in it.
Oh, yeah. Sean Astin. And Lee Majors, who I did reference.
Isn't Mira Sorvino in there too?
Yeah. I don't know what happened to
Mira Sorvino and. Yeah, that's one of those mysteries that just, like, because she had a good run for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And even Alexa Pena Vega, who's been in the Robert Rodriguez movies. And
she's in this? So,
yeah.
The last movie she was in, she was almost naked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, it's called money.
That's now true. She's, I guess, naked.
I'll this is one of those things that will make boo-koodles of money compared to what was probably spent in, you know, as far as the budget goes. This movie is going to make probably, I bet you, three times whatever the budget is. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what the budget is, but I guarantee you it will triple its money.
I think how much is a boo-koodle, by the way?
It's a lot.
Whatever triple is.
Okay.
God, you mentioned God's Not Dead. That did that budget was $2 million. It made over $61 million. Fireproof budget was $500,000. It made over $33 million. Passion of the Christ, $30 million, $370+ million.
What about that Christmas one that Kirk Cameron did recently?
To put Passion of the Christ in perspective, Guardians of the Galaxy has made $333 million. It still hasn't made as much money as Passion of the Christ.
Wow.
Christians love their God movies. So you can, you know, make all whatever kind of fun of it you want. They're not the ones that are listening to this podcast, but they love their movies. And
hey, I'm a Christian. I listen every now and again.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Okay.
I didn't say it was a good one, but I am one.
Yeah, but I think the difference here is that Passion was a good movie, well made, well acted, a lot of stuff put into that. This looks like just a lot of people yelling at each other.
Okay, it's like a pamphlet turned into a film.
Well, let me. Okay, when the Game Stands Tall, which was a football movie around faith, but it came out last year, it made $30 million, which was $3 million more than Cloud Atlas.
Okay. Oh.
So
he brought in Cloud
Atlas. You talk about well-made movies and that kind of stuff.
Ryan, are you financing these movies? Because you got all these numbers ready to go.
Because I knew what was coming. I know you three.
Hey,
I know you three.
Leave me out of this shit.
There ain't no hay.
You leave me out of this, fucker. I defend them when I think they're worth defending. I just defended God's Not Dead. So,
you know, when you defend God with the word fucker, it kind of negates.
Only if I'm a good Christian does it negate it.
Yeah, waters down your argument quite a bit. Point is, they are a silent minority out there. They're not blowing up the message boards. They're not, you know, you're not hearing them too much, but they spend their money and they support these types of movies.
Mm-hmm. I got no problem with that at all.
Bam.
He just, I think Justin just bammed you too. So it's like a bam.
I think they're, you know, movies should be made for everyone.
Well, I think we collectively tend to dismiss these as, I don't know, as not as important movies or whatever. But when you've got something that does makes 30 times its budget, I mean, that says something. Mm-hmm. If this was an independent movie about a child struggle out of poverty and who becomes president or owner of a major, you know, corporation or makes it big in sports, we would be lauding these types of movies and talking about how much money it's made over small budgets and that kind of stuff. And, you know, using that same margins, you got to mention these with them.
Absolutely. That's why it's on the format. Calm down.
Calm down. But we got you. We feeling you.
Whew. All right. Easy killer. Apparently Brian's running for office. Williams versus Clinton, 2016.
All right. Well, last one, Gunman of the Christ. Whoa, sorry. Got Christ on the brain. The Gunman. Now, this is an action drama directed by Pierre Morel. It stars Sean Penn, Idris Elba, and Javier Bardem, a former Special Forces soldier and military contractor suffering from PTSD, tries to reconnect with his longtime love, but first must go on the run from London to Barcelona and across Europe in order to clear his name. Now, Brian, Aaron, this is directed by the same guy who did Taken.
Damn right it is.
And I've got to say, you almost wouldn't even need to say that just from watching the trailer, because there are for me a lot of tonal similarities between it and this. And I've got to say, on a personal level, this movie's really kind of got a lot of my interest. And it's a Sean Penn film, which is surprising because I'm not a normal Sean Penn fan because he doesn't normally do these kinds of movies. So I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One, do you want to see? And two, how surprised are you that it's Sean Penn is the one doing this and that it's not, you know, your usual action star guy?
First one, Sean Penn, I normally don't like him just because he's so political and he doesn't know when to shut up. But then this week, he got a lot of flack for at the Academy Awards where he made a joke about the Mexican director and he said, who gave his son a bitch a green card because he was friends with him. And the media was hounding him to apologize and he said, no, I'm not going to. Fuck you and your apology. So basically this week, I became a Sean Penn fan. Just because finally one that's not going to apologize for making a joke. That's all I did was make a joke and the director laughed about it. So I was a little taken aback that he's doing an action movie because, like you said, never been an action guy. And in fact, I mean, he is jacked up for this movie. Like, he's been doing sit-ups for a while. It looks a little bit like Stallone, actually, in the face. And then you see the trailer for the movie. It looks very much like Taken. Sean Penn seems to have the action parts down pat. I already know he's got the dramatic chops. So, I mean, I actually think, even though I don't like him as a man, I think he's a better actor than Liam Neeson even. Sean Penn is a very good actor. He's just kind of a douche in real life. seen him in an action. Once I saw the action beats, I was like, all right, now I want to see it. And knowing the director from Taken, I have no doubt about his style. I'm on board. I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked. Because the first trailer I saw, I had no interest.
I really have no interest in this movie. I just feel like it's just Taken rehashed, slightly different plot, but the same basic format. All right, we've got another guy who's approaching his 60s. If he's not there yet, who knows how old he is? I mean, he looks like he's about 172, but he's, I mean, he's probably like 52. Mm-hmm. So we've got a guy he's his middle age on the, maybe getting to the upper end of middle age.
He's 55.
There you go. He looks like a Shar Pei. So let's face it. I mean, when you've got somebody like Liam Neeson, you know, Liam Neeson was great in Taken and progressively just, you know, those movies just quit working. And, you know, but that window was small for those to keep up a franchise. So if, you know, he's the next guy that's kind of approaching that age. And I just don't have an interest. To me, it was a neat novelty. And why not have an older woman in this role instead?
That's interesting. I'm actually with Brian. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of interest in this one. Much the same reason, or a little bit different reason, though. I'm just tired of the gritty, violent drama theme that we've been getting. I don't know. Maybe I just finished Sons of Anarchy, and I watched a lot of that in a condensed amount of time. So maybe I'm just kind of burnt out on that. But
I could see that.
Nothing about this trailer just struck me at all. The only reason I'd want to see this, I think, is because it's Javier Bardem, right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
And I just want to see him in more stuff because he's just interesting to watch and see what he does in different roles. But outside of that, no real interest whatsoever.
All right.
Yeah, well, there you go.
What about you, Justin? You didn't give your opinion. Do you want to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I do want to see it. Sean Penn is the kind of guy that I normally associate with films, you know, like you were saying, much more politically motivated, like Milk. And he is one of those guys who wears his politics very much on his sleeve. And when it comes to Hollywood celebrities, I would normally just prefer not to know their political opinions because they usually turn into assholes when they start pontificating. But I just figure he's probably looked at his career, realize that it's not maybe where he wants it to be, and perhaps he's wondered, is it because the roles I've been taking are, you know, they're more in line with his politics and less with making some bank? I don't know. Maybe that's why he's suddenly going the action film route. But it does look like a very quality film. The actors involved are all people I enjoy watching on the screen. So yeah, I wouldn't have thought I would be as interested in it as I am, but the trailers, all of them, have really looked good.
Well, you and I can go together because these two fussy pants don't want to go.
That's all right. Well, of these three films, guys, Insurgent, Do You Believe, and The Gunman, which one are you most likely to go to a theater and check out? Aaron?
Gunman.
Brian?
The Invergent, Surgent, Dirgent.
Dirka
gent.
The
Invergent.
Dirka jihad.
I think you just do all three of them, call it Invergent.
There we go.
Inner space vent, whatever.
Scotty?
I'm going to go with Insurgent just because mildly interested beats not interested at all.
I'd probably have to go with Aaron on Gunman. I feel like I know what I'm going to get with Insurgent, especially since I've read the book. Whereas The Gunman, while it does look a little paint-by-numbers action-y, at least it looks like an entertaining and well-done one by an actor I've not seen do it yet. So that by itself, I think, is interesting. There you go.
All right. Box office. Chappie lived for about one more day before audiences put him down, even though he managed the number one opening. But unfortunately, it was like the weakest number one opening this year. $13.3 million.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was kind of painful. I feel bad for Blomkamp, but we'll talk about the movie here in a second. Focus is slowly shifting out of view. Got $10 million bucks for a $34 million total. It might end up with a little bit more than After Earth, but it's going to be close. The second best exotic, Marigold Hotel. That's right. Even Judi Dench gets sequels. it opened actually pretty strong at $8.5 million. And Unfinished Business, that Vince Vaughn comedy, it opened with a pathetic 10th place, $4.7 million.
Wow, and that was marketed like crazy.
The worst opening, wide opening of his career. He's pretty much done at the movie theater for a while, I think.
Yeah, I don't know who to blame for that one.
I actually thought it looked funny, but the critics just beat the shit out of it.
Well, to me, it's one of those movies that I don't care what critics think, because usually when it comes to these kinds of raunchy comedies, they're never going to get good reports from critics. To me, what kind of put me off, and I hate to say it, is Franco.
Really? I thought he was funny.
I don't like him.
Really?
I thought he was kind of funny in Neighbors, but even in 21 and 22 Jump Street, I just didn't think he was all that funny. And there's just something about his face that makes me want to just punch it.
You know, I mean, I agree with you, because when the first time I saw him, I couldn't stand him. And then there's this irritating charm that he's got that draws me in. And I'm growing to like him. And I don't like myself for liking him.
Well, I might grow to like him, but right now I don't.
This irritating charm.
I do like him more than James Franco, though.
I actually like James Franco a little more, because I think James is more in on the joke. You know, I think he's realized this, but, you know, when you look at the films that he's been in, the way that he presents himself in it, he's kind of understands this is kind of how people see me, so I'm going to play up the joke. Whereas his brother, I don't think he's quite there yet.
What's this movie?
Each week we play ours or a listener suggests a clip from a movie. And if you think you know what the clip is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Next week we'll give you a proper host shout out. Last week's answer was my pick, and it was Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And I think pretty much everybody just knew what it was, so not many people actually answered. Craig Schermerhorn, Shane Hoens, and Linton Bowers. Congratulations, guys. This week, it is a listener's pick. Benji Thomason emailed us and actually said because of the movie he apparently knew we were going to talk about, he wanted to send in a clip suggestion. And here is your clip. Here we go.
Okay.
No, not alive. All right? So forgive me for doing everything I can.
You know what? It hasn't been a fucking week.
You're right. Day six. Yeah, day six. And every day, she's wondering why I'm not there to fucking rescue her. All right. Do you understand that? Right. Me. Not you. Not you. But me. Every day. All right. So forgive me for not going home to have a good night's rest.
All right. Let's go to reviews. We've only got one movie to review this week, and that's Cheppy. It stars Dev Patel as Dion. He's a weapons designer who has built a robotic police force in Johannesburg. He develops a form of AI that will allow robots to think and feel just like us, which his boss, who's played by Sigourney Weaver, wants no part of. Just so you guys know, Sigourney Weaver, nothing but a glorified cameo. That's all it is. Suddenly, these criminals, Ninja and Jolandi, who are played by South African rappers Ninja and Jolandi, kidnap Dion, force him to build his robot with the intention of teaching the robot to be a gangsta and pull off a $1 million heist, all while Hugh Jackman tries to destroy Dion's police force so his designs can take over. That's the whole plot of the movie. In terms of like production, it's staggeringly beautiful. The effects are seamless. Chappie looks like a real creature. I mean, it looks like a robot that is actually moving around, living and breathing. Chartel Copley's voicing of the character, I think, was very well done, even if what the dialogue that was written wasn't so much. But the design and the production and the action and everything else look great. Unfortunately, Chappie is the only character in the entire movie I gave one shit about. You've got Dev Patel. He's fine, but he's really bland. Hugh Jackman, who I am a huge fan of. I mean, he tries very hard, but I mean, his character is written about as blandly as a Rush Hour villain. And then and then you've got Ninja and Jolandi, who I don't understand why director Neil Blomkamp, who I'm a huge fan of, he thought these two would be a good fit. It just makes no sense to me because, I mean, Jolandi, she tries. She tries to be like Chappie's mommy, I guess, and she kind of has a little bit of heart, but It's still not very good. But Ninja, the guy in this relationship, he looks and acts like he just showed up out of Breaking 2. He's that bad. He's just all cheesy rap and gangster cliches. And it totally takes you out of the movie the entire time he's trying to, quote unquote, act. The cliches kind of spill over into Chappie's character. And by the time we get to that last act, it just, I mean, it almost becomes a parody of itself. And this is a movie I was so excited about, just so excited about. Neil Blomkamp, I mean, he's taken over the Alien franchise. I haven't lost faith in him because the action looks great. The special effects look great, like I said. And he introduces a lot of really interesting ideas in the Chappie. And that's why, Justin, I told you, I think you would actually like some of the ideas in the movie. You might not like how he explains them or elaborates on them, but I really think you'd like some of the ideas. But he just can't seem to expand on them in any reasonable or entertaining way that makes any sense. It's like Short Circuit meets RoboCop meets bad rap movie. And it just...
What?
Yeah. I'm serious. I mean, at one point you see Chappie running around with tons of bling on him, and he's busting caps in people's ass, and he's saying stuff like, fuck mother, you know, instead of motherfucker. Oh, isn't that clever?
Is this like New Jack Chappie?
Yes. There you go. And it's like he couldn't decide what kind of movie he wanted to make. Is this a comedy or a gritty action flick? Or is he just trying to relive the 80s? I don't know. If $10 is the full price of admission, Chappie's worth $5, and it's completely because of production value, not story at all.
Wow, that's such a bummer.
That is impressive, coming from probably one of the biggest Blomkamp supporters that I know of.
That hurt. It hurt walking out, man. It hurt. Really,
if I hadn't been sick, I'd have seen it too, but I just didn't feel up to go into the theaters. And then when I heard your opinion and some others, I was like, oh, maybe it's all right that I'm sick.
Like I said, I really think you'd like some of the ideas that they use, because I know you're big on if a movie gives you something to think about. And I think there are some, especially with artificial intelligence and consciousness and that sort of thing, I think there's some cool ideas. Just they just don't work as well as they should. What's on Blu-ray and video on demand, Scott?
Well, this is the releases for March 17th. The first is Annie. This is the remake of the 1982 musical about a foster kid who lives with her mean foster mom and sees her life change when business tycoon and New York mayoral candidate Will Stacks, played by Jamie Foxx, makes a thinly veiled campaign move and takes her in. It stars, as I mentioned, Jamie Foxx, as well as Rose Byrne, Cameron Diaz, and Quavin Jeanne Wallace. Or as Brian likes to say, what you talking about, Wallace?
What you talking about, Wallace?
None of us saw that, not even me, who was really looking forward to it. But,
the reviews were not good.
It wasn't? You did see it?
No, the reviews were not good, I said.
Oh, the review. I didn't hear that part. Next up is Exodus, Gods and Kings. This one stars Christian Bale as the defiant leader Moses, who rises up against the Egyptian pharaoh Ramses, setting 600,000 slaves on a monumental journey of escape from Egypt and its terrifying cycle of deadly plagues. It also stars Joel Edgerton, John Turturro, Aaron Paul, Sigourney Weaver, and Ben Kingsley. Aaron's the only one who saw this. He reviewed it on episode 170. He gave it a $5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And next up is Top 5. A comedian tries to make it as a serious actor when his reality TV star fiancé talks him into broadcasting their wedding on her TV show.
I really want to see that. I really do want to see that.
Well, you're a huge Chris Rock fan, so I'm not
surprised.
And Rosario Dawson, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. That's a different kind of conversation, though.
Last one on disc is Halo Nightfall. This is the Microsoft Studios project that wasn't scrapped. A lot of things were, but this one stuck. While investigating terrorist activity on the distant colony world of Cedra, Jameson Locke and his team are caught in a horrific biological attack that exposes them to a much deeper danger. This is obviously based on the video game series, obviously made by Microsoft. What's really interesting to me, and I haven't seen this yet, but from a gaming perspective, is that Locke is supposed to be a pretty prominent character in the upcoming Halo game for Xbox One, Halo 5 Guardian. So there's apparently a tie-in to that, which is kind of interesting.
You haven't seen this yet? Did you watch it, Justin?
No, when I bought my Master Chief Collection, it came with it as a streaming, a free streaming movie, but I just haven't gotten around to watching it. That Halo Forward Unto Dawn just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, and so I'm not leaping to see anything new just yet, but I do want to see it.
I watched it, and it was okay.
It was okay?
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't okay. I mean, I think for diehard Halo fans, it probably hits more than for me.
Right. We do have one more, a video on demand film that actually releases on the 20th instead of the 17th. It's called Tracers. Wanted by the Chinese Mafia, a New York City bike messenger escapes into the world of parkour
after meeting
a beautiful stranger.
Sorry. Finish. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
It's Taylor Lautner. You didn't even mention it. It's Wolfie. Wolfie's in it.
I did not even realize that. Wow.
Yeah. Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Abs himself.
Yep. And he's being pursued as a bike messenger from the Chinese Mafia.
Didn't we just have a bike messenger movie?
Yeah, with
that revolved around the
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yeah.
Premium Rush,
yeah. It's kind of a fun movie. It just seems like an odd, obscure theme that we're getting another one already.
I love parkour, so I mean, I'll probably check it out no matter how bad his acting is.
Hmm. Well, with that, we'll move on to something a little bit more fun. We go to one of our other segments. Those longtime listeners will remember things like recasting the classics, Stump the Hoe and such. This week we're doing a flashback, and I'm actually going to be taking this one as well. Instead of doing an older one, I'm actually doing a newer show that I think some people may have missed, and it's a brand new Netflix show that just came this past week. It's a sitcom called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's a Netflix exclusive that is directed by Tina Fey. It follows this a girl by the name of Kimmy Schmidt, who's played by Ellie Kemper. You might recognize her from movies like Bridesmaids and she was in the TV show The Office.
She's so cute.
She really is cute.
She's adorable, yeah.
And the story is 15 years ago, she got wrapped up in a religious cult that convinced her that she has to live in an underground bunker. She eventually gets rescued along with all the other girls and decides to try to live on her own in New York City, eventually finds a roommate in the overly flamboyant Titus, and gets a job as a babysitter or a nanny for a millionaire's wife. This sounds totally ridiculous, and it is, but it's ridiculous in all the right ways. The best way I can explain this, and some people have told me, have made comparisons to 30 Rock, which I haven't watched, but if you've seen the TV show New Girl, this feels like if Tina Fey had directed New Girl to me.
Oh, really?
That, to me.
Okay.
So,
all right.
And I say that for all good reasons. I say that in a good, it's so charming. It's just, She's Kimmy is so sweet and so innocent, and her experiencing the crazy world that is New York City is just hilarious and sweet at the same time. And she's so positive, and the jokes actually really work for me. It's a sitcom that doesn't have a laugh track, so I appreciate that. She's so much fun to root for. I highly recommend the show. It's only 13 episodes, and they're about 20-22 minutes each. It's a pretty easy watch. So I like that this exists, and I'm hoping that we get more from it. So.
I really want to see this now. I didn't know all that, so thanks for filling us in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go to From the Outside In, which is our topic that is on that we talk about each week that's on ours or our listeners' minds. Ghostbusters came out with some big news saying that they are, now I don't know if it's because they were sick of all the guys yelling, we don't want all female Ghostbusters, but we're getting a bunch of dudes in a Ghostbusters movie with C-Tates. And apparently, that's Channing Tatum for the uninitiated. and apparently it's going to be a shared universe, which we're going to talk about a little bit more here in a second. So here's what we're talking about. We're talking about shared cinematic universes. Now, I don't mean just like franchises. What I mean when I say cinematic universe is like what Marvel did, which is they brought Iron Man to the fold. It was a hit. And then they started making movies that are all interconnected, and they're all basically in the same world. A lot of other movie properties are now kind of putting their foot in that water and trying to wade out into the sea and try this. And it seems like a lot of them are doing it without really having a foundation. So ever since Marvel began their cinematic universe, we have heard more and more and more about these shared universes. DC is one that it's a logical option, and they've done it on TV. Now they're doing it on film. Spider-Man was going to do it. That didn't seem to work out so well. Universal is expanding this concept, and they're going to try it with their movie monsters. With this latest news that Sony is taking a stab at it with Ghostbusters, our topic is quite simply, are we getting carried away? So, Justin, you can start the conversation off. Do you think we're getting carried away?
I wouldn't say we are yet. I mean, we're not talking, you know, tons and tons of them that are doing it. It's still a relatively small number of properties that this is being done with. Now, with Ghostbusters, back in the day when I was probably about 14 and 13, they came out with a role-playing game for Ghostbusters. And one of the parts of the rule book talked about, you know, you could set up your franchise of Ghostbusters in any location you want, so it doesn't have to be New York. And when I was a kid and reading through the rules and started thinking about that, it really sparked my young imagination to think, you know, if there is this universe where these ghosts do actually exist, and it's enough of a presence that people are actually now needed to fight them, then why would you just keep it to New York City? I mean, that's not where, you know, ghosts are just going to be in that one place. They're going to be all over the world. So you would want to open up, or maybe need to open up, these franchises in different locations. And so when I hear that the people behind the films are now wanting to expand on the brand and not just have one team in films, but maybe multiple teams that each have their own films and perhaps they intermingle, to me that kind of makes sense, because it's something that I've had in my, you know, the back of my head since I was a kid. And I love that idea. But in order for it to really work, there needs to be a good enough story that separates all of them. I mean, if all they're doing is killing ghosts to get to the big bad guy at the end, that's not going to be nearly as satisfying. I would like each different location to have something special and unique into what they're fighting and what the threats are that face their individual locations.
They're like Chick-fil-A's and they just got little locations all over
the
city.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you franchise out. But I love the idea, and as a storyteller myself, I love to see people taking some of these properties and attempting to do more with them than just put out the standard movie and then move on. This tells me that these are people who are really interested in creating something, hopefully something deeper, something broader, something more complex, and ultimately more interesting by creating a much broader franchise for these films than just the one or the two. What Marvel's been doing with their films and now adding in the television shows is fantastic. I love it. I just finished watching Agent Carter while I was sick, and at the very end of it, I'm not spoiling anything, but a character shows up that was in the films, and I love that this character showed up because it indicated some direction that maybe that show is going. And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, and now we've got Daredevil coming. All of these things are creating a really broad, interesting canvas. DC kind of doing the same thing. I love it. I love to see something being tried that's not just, well, let's just do a movie every other year and let the people be satisfied with that. This is something more interesting, and it is challenging, and there's a lot of possibility for things to fall apart. But damn it, if you want to succeed big, sometimes you gotta, you know, you gotta put your balls out there. You gotta try big.
Here's the only thing that scares me about this crossover or different universes coming together is I think that like maybe 10 or 15 years ago, it would have worked a lot better because we had a lot more surprises back then. Now obviously we're on a movie and entertainment podcast, so we talk about this, our fingers kind of on the pulse of this thing on a regular basis. But I kind of miss going into the theaters, and we talked about stingers at the end of Marvel movies before, and getting surprised by some of this stuff instead of, you know, we had to have all this information up front. I kind of miss having that mystery, those kinds of things that you never knew were going to come together in crossover universes happen in front of me on the screen instead of on my computer screen when I'm reading something on the internet.
Yeah, that's why I don't listen to the podcast, because I don't want you guys spoiling stuff for me before I go see the trailers and the movies. So just kidding, but not really. I mean, Scott, I see your point, because it's one of those things to where I, you know, when the trailer comes on at the theater, I'm a little excited because it is on the big screen. I've watched it on my phone or my, you know, or maybe my desktop at home. So it is a little bit of a different effect. And I don't have to worry about it buffering or anything like that. So there is, you know, there is that. But yeah, I don't know if it's gone too far, though. Or I almost think it's just kind of the natural progression. You know, with music, we've seen, we see artists that not just do it, you know, a song themselves, but it's always an artist featuring somebody else. And you see these collaborations and you see these anywhere from just, you know, maybe a duo up to three or four people at the same time, you know, getting mm-hmm. credit for the same song. So it's, you know, it's like I said, it's almost like a natural progression. Why not with the movies? You got a franchise that maybe is starting to get a little stagnant. Let's try to spin something off or maybe bring in another property and kind of mash it up in a way. So, I mean, you know, movies like Alien versus Predator kind of screwed that up a little bit, but
I think some movies make sense. And, you know, you get a franchise like Star Wars, you don't need to prove anything to realize that there's obviously a lot of money involved and possibly worth investing to make that a shared universe. You know, having a Boba Fett spinoff and having a Han Solo spin and having all this entire world expanded makes sense because you already know this is a huge franchise. It's established. Then you've got stuff like the Universal Pictures options, which is we're going to make our monster movies a shared universe. They announced it before Dracula is even proven to be successful. They haven't had a really successful monster film in a few years. So to announce it gets moviegoers' hopes up. And then, of course, Dracula didn't do very well. So now they're kind of lingering. Are we still going to do this? Is it still going to work? You know, for me, that is kind of punishing the viewer to a degree. And the same thing with Ghostbusters. You know, yes, the franchise was successful in 1984 when it first came out, but you have no idea if this new film is going to be successful, and you're already announcing this shared universe. For me, that puts me at a more hesitant stance to see the first movie in it, because I want to see how well it's going to do before I get invested and get my, I guess, dreams crushed. I know it's probably not a fair way to look at it, but that's honestly how I feel with something that isn't established. You know, I would much rather they didn't tell me that. Give me a little stinger at the end that opens that possibility up should this film be a really good film or really successful. You know, the way that they're doing it is really bumming me out.
I can understand that. Unfortunately, I think the studios, they can't win no matter which way they go. Because if they announce it ahead of time, then people like you feel that they're putting too many eggs in the basket, it makes you leery. But if they don't do that, then people like me who are suddenly excited by this notion of creating a broader canvas for their stories, suddenly my interest maybe isn't quite there because I don't feel like the people behind it are really behind it. The idea of creating this broad canvas for stories, what it tells me is these are people who are confident in their abilities, they're confident in what they're going to be putting together, and they have a deep belief in what they're doing. And so that kind of gives me a belief in what they're doing, as opposed to just putting a movie out there and letting it just do whatever it does. So there, it's kind of, you know, six in one and half a dozen in the other. People they're going to excite doing it one way, or people they're going to let down another way. It's hard to really know how these people should release this kind of information and do their planning, because who are you gonna be okay with upsetting or potentially turning off?
I think there's also kind of a paradigm shift that's happened over the past decade or so in terms of I kind of mentioned this earlier, but what information we see before we go see a movie. Can you think of the last time that you went and saw a movie without even seeing a trailer or seeing or reading a review or something like that? You just went in, you heard the title of it, heard a brief synopsis of it, and said, okay, I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah, I mean, do it all the time, actually.
Well, do you?
With independent movies, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I do it when I'm like independent movies on iTunes. Mm-hmm. I'll watch quite a few of those that I have no idea what it's about. But if I'm going into a theater and paying, you know, $30 for the ticket and popcorn and everything else, I want to know what I'm kind of getting into.
Yeah, popcorn ain't free, man. Those I will double check.
I have to buy it. I've been told.
Every week. You can continue, Scott. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That was basically my point. I feel like it's becomes much harder, especially for people like us that see as many movies as we do, to, you know, I'm getting to where I want to pick and choose which movies I want to see. And I, you know, because the cost is one thing, you know, it's getting more expensive. Like you said, even iTunes, I mean, a movie purchase on iTunes is like 15, 20 bucks, even a rental six or seven. You know, there's still some kind of a gamble there, and we kind of want to go in armed with as much information as we can, and you're bound to get some of that stuff ruined. So, like Justin said, you're kind of they're kind of stuck in the middle. Like, with which do you get the information out there to make attract an audience, or do you appease the people that are going to go see the movie anyway?
I don't know. I mean, Marvel did a smart gamble with just betting it all on Iron Man and not releasing everything they were going to do. And then you had that stinger pop up, and you're like, wow, there could be more to this. And then they slowly, slowly built upon it because they had that success. I mean, they had it all. You can have the ideas and not have to announce it to everybody. You can say, here's, we have potential, you know, let's wait and see how it pans out. Whereas, you know, not only just the Marvel or the Universal Monsters, Spider-Man, they had that whole villain world, the Sinister Six world. They kept telling everybody they were going to start. Drew Goddard was hired to do the movie. And now it's not done. It's just basically put on the back burner, but it sure sounds like it's done. So you've got all these people that now those dreams are crushed. I mean, it's just, I get frustrated with that aspect of it. I think the actual building of the world is great because if done well, when it's done well, it's really cool. The DC TV universe, I think, is really cool. And it's really exciting how they've kept that world alive and how, you know, Arrow pops up in Flash and Flash pops up in Arrow and it's on TV. I think that's great. And I think the film world is fantastic where you never know who's going to pop up in whose movie anymore. You know, sometimes you might get Captain America just doing a quick cameo in a Thor movie. You don't know. And that's great and exciting for
fans.
Spoiler
alert.
It's been out. I think we got that down. It's all that stuff is great, but when you get our hopes up and then you stomp on them, which is bound to happen, the more shared universes you publicize and say are going to happen, that it's going to be more likely that several of those are not going to work out. So you're going to have disappointed fans. I don't know. It's kind of like when you go see a movie you really like, but it didn't make enough money. So now you're bummed because you're never going to get to see another one. You know, they're not going to make a part two. And, you know, when you see that, if you know that there could have been this whole world, but because not enough people went and saw it, I don't get
it. Hello, John Carter.
Yeah, John Carter. For Justin, Jupiter Ascending. I mean, John Carter. There's lots of those movies where, you know, we're all bummed because we didn't get a part two and shared universe. Now I'm bummed that I don't get like five movies. I don't know. I just feel like all the studios looked at how well Marvel did and how well they continue to do. I mean, they're the diamond, right? They're the diamond in the rough.
Or they're the gold standard now.
Yeah, they're the gold standard. But you've got all these studios that want to copy that, but none of them seem to want to do it the same way, you know, like, or even a similar way. They want to rush into their universe. They want their universe to just magically happen. And I don't think audiences work that way.
Well, but I think that runs into the same thing of, well, if they do it the same way Marvel did it, then you're going to get a ton of people who are going to say, oh, you're nothing but Marvel copycats. If they do true. It differently, then you're going to get people, well, they're not doing it the way Marvel did. So you're going to, again, piss off half an audience one way or another. Marvel has already done it, but they did it so well that to try and replicate that formula again, I don't feel like DC has the desire or the energy to try and go from ground zero, especially considering that Batman and Superman are cinematic characters that we have already seen so many times. Why do another Batman origin movie? Why not just, bam, Batman's in the next Superman movie, a couple other cameos, and let's just get running, as opposed to Marvel's slower jog start, because who really knew Iron Man outside of the Marvel faithful?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Of course, now they all
C-list character.
All the super nerds are like, oh yeah, we were big fans. No, you were not.
Right.
You did not know who Iron Man was. Unless you read a lot of comic books, you had no idea. And what about the Ghostbusters news? I guess we should expand on that. So you've got Channing Tatum. There's some rumors that Chris Pratt might be in it, but
he's in everything
he's
now.
He's in everything. You can't put him in every franchise. He's an idiot.
That motherfucker's going to be tired.
He's so worn out.
He'll show up to play Star-Lord, and he'll have the proton pack on. He's like, oh, let's do this.
And the fedora. He's still wearing a fedora, too. With a raptor under his arm. So you've got Channing Tatum for sure. And then you've got the Russos, Joe and Anthony Russo, who did Captain America Winter Soldier.
Oh, watched it again last night. So fucking awesome.
Well, I mean, according to the article, though, it's Channing Tatum's production company for right now. It's not confirmed that he's in the movie.
I don't think it's confirmed, but they expect him to star, is what I read.
If I'm Channing Tatum, I'm getting a proton pack.
Whatever happens, obviously there's no cast.
That I can rip off the pants of.
I mean, yeah, you can't. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a pretty safe assumption that he would eventually, you know, work out something, some kind of a deal where he would be in it. But as far as the information we know at this time, he's not supposed to be in it as we speak.
But we all know he'll be Magic Mike with a proton pack. And you've got the Russos.
Oh, I just had a bad joke, but I'm not going to go there.
Go there, man. We can
got that protein, that proton, the protein pack. Oh, God.
Whoa.
This fucking, she is just holding a big wang as it's crossing streams. The jokes make themselves, people.
That just went all kinds of awful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But weren't the Russos supposed to be doing like Infinity War? As well as like Captain America Civil War? I mean, aren't their plates full?
I know they were doing Civil War, but I hadn't heard if they were doing Infinity Wars Part 1 or 2.
I could have swore they were on board for that because Joss Whedon said he wasn't. And then there's so many. I can't keep track of all the news anymore. I mean, everybody's committed to everything. And God, I don't know. So which one of these are you most excited about? Here's the ones that I am aware of. You've got the Marvel Shared Universe, obviously. That's working well. DC's Shared Universe. Universal Monsters, because they are still doing a Mummy and I think something else. A werewolf.
Frankenstein?
Werewolf. And I think they're looking at Frankenstein, too. Damn it. You got me doing it. you've got Star Wars, Ghostbusters, and Spider-Man supposedly is not done in terms of a shared universe. So which one of those? Let's take Marvel out of it because all of you are going to say Marvel.
Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Always will be.
Brian, what are you most excited of those?
So Marvel's not an option?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, don't leave out Valiant Comics, who probably nobody but me, Brian maybe, ever heard of. They're trying to get into the movie business too, and they've got a number of comic book properties that probably not too many people have heard of, but they're going to do their best to get in on this action too.
You mean nobody in the world or just on the
show? Well, Valiant Comics, they were a lot more popular, I think, in the late 90s. They had a number of titles that were fairly popular, but they never approached the popularity of Image or DC or Marvel. But they're now attempting to get some of their comic books made into a shared cinematic universe.
Was it EXO?
Yeah, EXO, Manowar, Harbinger, Manowar. Some others. Right. Yeah.
Wow. You guys do know your comics. Look at that.
Boom. High five, Jay.
And I still got the crossing streams on a stripper stage in my head. God damn it. All right. Well, before we say what we would pick, I asked some of our listeners to give us some ideas of what movies or series they would choose to extend to a shared cinematic universe, excluding comic books, because that's really too
easy.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
So we asked, Craig Schermerhorn said Fringe leaves enough in the realms of science and unknown to blend in nicely with comic book, supernatural, or otherwise. What do you guys think?
I loved Fringe, so I'm all behind that.
Could that be a shared universe? I haven't seen it yet.
I think they could do a lot more with it.
They've already had a shared universe. They had a shared universe, you know, storyline that ran for two seasons that put me to sleep almost every episode.
Brian's so bitter about that show, man.
I loved Fringe.
He's so bitter. I'm probably the one person who's watched every episode who just doesn't like it.
Okay. I think we all gathered that, yeah. Jonathan Spears is The Conjuring. If they could get Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, would make an amazing HBO or Showtime show. Follow the Warrens from Investigation.
That would be interesting, yeah.
In a True Detective style? Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
Like you just got my geek nipples hard.
Really dark.
That would be awesome.
Your geek nipples are tingling?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
What do they normally do?
They vibe, well, just kind of vibrate.
They're man nipples, so they just
they don't do nothing.
They don't have a whole lot of purpose.
They just kind of gyrate.
I just hang pasties off of them.
D.A. Cheney said, Pacific Rim and Godzilla, of course. Oh, just like a world where giant monsters destroy everything?
Oh, Gypsy Danger against Godzilla. I would pay to see that.
Yeah, okay, I probably would too.
Yeah.
David Kramer said Stephen King's Dark Tower series and all of his other books that he draws from.
Yep.
I think that would...
Yeah.
What?
We're getting that, though, aren't we?
Well, they're doing the Dark Tower, but so many others of his novels either directly or indirectly reference or play into the Dark Tower series. I mean, like Insomnia, even Pet Sematary. These are all Dark Tower tangential stories.
All right, I got you.
That would be kind of interesting. I mean, you take, like, you make some horror movies where all the character, you'll see a character from the next horror movie just wander through the frame or have a conversation or maybe even a stinger where they interact, and you could definitely connect those, especially King's World.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mm. Scott Calogero, he wanted to say Riddick in Guardians of the Galaxy and combine the two. I don't think that would work, and we said no comics, so yeah. Josh Stima said Looper and Minority Report could be magical if they handled those correctly and made them a shared universe.
That's, yeah, I like that.
That's interesting. Brandon Morris said mix The Wizard of Oz with Matrix. Okay.
Well, they had a little. No, not Wizard of Oz. That was an Alice in Wonderland reference. Yeah. Sorry.
Dorothy goes all the one on the witch and her monkeys.
Dorothy in a black duster.
Or the True Detective season that follows Gone Girl. Wow, that would be interesting.
Hmm.
Mike Bonovich says, mash the 80s universe, or mash the 80s movie universe. Commando and Rambo to fight Terminators and Gremlins together. The Goonies to team up with Doc Brown and Marty to save Sloth from the Thunderdome.
And then Knight Rider and Airwolf, we got the ground and air attack.
Oh, you're onto something there.
That took some thought right there. All right, well, what about for us? For us on the show, are there any film or series that is not comic related that you think would lend itself to a shared universe like this?
Well, I kind of took this as almost kind of like the mashup type thing, kind of like what a couple of people did.
Hey, do however you want, man.
All right, well, cool. So you in this one, take your pick, Predator and or Alien, paired up with Stargate.
Okay.
Humans, you know, that kind of, you know, you got to have a human element. You can't just have predators and aliens fighting each other, whatever. But they find another Stargate. All right, hey, let's turn this dial this way, whatever. I don't know how all this shit works. Anyway, they go through that watery bloop, 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 bloop thing. And then, oh, crap. That was a wrong turn. And
I will give you $1 if you do that again, because that was impressive.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Done. PayPal.
All right.
On its way.
But almost a thing like the Universal Monsters, where you have characters like Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon. Because I think they're too one-dimensional to really carry a movie by themselves at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
60 years ago, sure, you know. But I think at this point they're just a little too bland. And I think maybe if you were to create some of these characters that kind of, you could kind of work these space time things with, like I said, like Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers Even just a Flash Gordon, you could create a whole movie/TV universe with just him. You know, you've got characters like Prince Baron and Prince Voltan. Maybe Baron has his own TV show. Voltan has his own TV show during the off season of Baron's. You weave them in with, you know, the Flash Gordon movies, some of the other, you know, kind of secondary characters, what have you.
Just don't let sci-fi do it, because they tried to do a Flash Gordon TV show and it sucked.
You can make Battlestar Galactica with Firefly, and they mesh worlds. Just keep combining all kinds of franchises. Think about it. They're stumbling around space. The ship's broken, fracking broken, and they stumble across Serenity, and hijinks ensue.
Interesting.
I think Starbuck and Mal would probably get along.
Oh yeah. What about a lot in the back?
What about a Firefly and Riddick mashup?
Everybody'd be dead. That doesn't sound like a fun show.
You just gotta send Riddick against the Reavers.
Yeah, there you go. I could see that.
I'd love to see like Blade and Buffy.
Oh, that would be really kick ass.
Both of them just staking vamps left and right.
What about you, Scott? What would be your film or series?
Well, I got two. The first one is I'm not sure that I came up with this idea. I think I might have read it somewhere, so credit to whomever came up with this idea. But I kind of want to see series that already existed or are already done that you come to find out later were actually related somehow. So let me explain. Malcolm in the Middle. Imagine Malcolm in the Middle, the end of that, the crazy dad. Whatever, I don't even know what his job was in that movie, but he gives up and decides to become, you know, stop being crazy and becomes a chemistry teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad goes through and does everything, and Jesse decides to go back to cooking meth and screws up the formula, you know, because he doesn't have everything figured out right. And that's what causes the outbreak of The Walking Dead. Like, I want to see something like
that's
that.
That's bad math.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, he screwed up some formula and it caused this, and that's why we have all the zombies in the Walking Dead.
The walking math.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like a very big example. But I think it would be fun to go back and find out that series that have already finished were related to somehow. So that or something. And I'm not a big Japanese animation fan. I know I follow a couple shows here and there. Brad Pempick, who follows our page, might be able to shed more light on this than I am. But there's a whole universe of stuff in there that would be a good place for crossovers. I mean, a lot of them are all kind of in the same realm. I mean, they're all, you know, either superpowers or do any of you guys watch any anime at all? Am I the only one that's watched any year?
I don't. No, I don't.
I mean, outside of Akira and Ninja Scroll and stuff.
I don't
watch
anything currently. No.
No. I think there could be a lot of crossover potentials between those. The series, I watched a series called Bleach, which was really interesting. You could cross it over with something like Attack on Titan, which we've been talking about more recently. There's limitless potential. You know, think like Marvel levels of different things that are going on there that could make lots of possibilities.
I'm glad you owned up to that. You stole the Walking Dead / Breaking Bad thing, because I know I saw that shit on a message board somewhere.
Yeah, I it's very, very possible.
Yeah, Scott's like plagiarism. Yep.
That's why I'm owning up to it front up. But the bigger point in that is that I want to see that with other series, like where you find out that two or three series were actually spinoffs of each other, and you know how like those AMC shows. They're always showing like these Easter eggs or little things in the show that that you didn't find out till later. It would be so much fun to go back and revisit those shows after something like that is revealed.
Like Once Upon a Time has all these connections to Lost and stuff like that. It's really cool when shows do that.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. I thought long and hard about what kind of shared universe I would want, and pretty much everything else is covered. I want a horror universe, and I don't mean the universal monster. I mean like a world with Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers and maybe even Ash and from the Evil Dead. And you, there's some kind of world where they continue to cross paths somehow. You know, you started to have that with Freddy versus Jason, but unfortunately they never did anything else with that versus thing. I would want to leave the versus behind. I would like horror movies where the killer might pop in town and maybe help or go against the other killer, and you just crisscross and you just get them weaving in and out of these.
Didn't we kind of have that in Cabin in the Woods a little bit?
No, not really.
Wouldn't teenagers be an endangered species, though?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Maybe you could throw, like, the Scream Killer in because he's not really the, you know, as magically murdersome as the other ones. So, you know, then you get a little bit more low-key horror film. I just would like a shared horror universe of some kind where you've got killers wandering into other killers' territory. It's affecting the story somehow, and I don't know. I don't know how you would do it, but I really think that could be something very cool if, you know, you get the right creative people behind it. What about you, Justin? Mr. Writer, what'd you come up with?
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, I would love the idea of something like a Blade or a Buffy, but really the one franchise that I think could easily be expanded, not franchise, but property, that could be expanded into something much larger would be like something like the X-Files. I mean, you're talking about a possible alien invasion of Earth. That can cover an FBI show. It could cover military. There's really almost no ends of ways that you could create new stories and new interesting ways of telling those stories. So, I'm just an X-Files fan. I want them to do anything to bring that back.
I'm with you. I am with you. Are they? They keep saying that they're going to bring it back, but have they ever really confirmed it?
I don't know. You hear David Duchovny, and he seems pretty high on it. And I know Gillian Anderson is really high on it, too. I think if you got both those stars, I would not be surprised at all if we didn't hear something this year regarding the X-Files.
Oh, God. Might have to do our own spinoff podcast.
Yeah, I'd be there.
All X-File all the time. Here's what we asked our listeners, what if they think that we're getting carried away with the cinematic universes. And Steve Peterson said, not at all. I love shared universe stories. That's one of the many things I love about Stephen King books. But King keeps popping up, man. Seeing a character pop up in another book or mention an event from a different story, it makes their world feel more real and full. Same with Kevin Smith's Jersey series. I didn't even think about that. His are kind of a shared universe. Mm-hmm. Marvel has done an amazing job with it. Can't wait to see it done with DC. I do want to say, are you guys kind of sick with the haters on DC? Like, there's no way they can get this right when they've only really had one movie to try.
I hated haters a long time ago.
I hated haters before it was hip to hate haters.
That's right.
Brian?
Just shake it off.
God. Brian, are you sick of that? I mean, because that's everywhere I go, it feels like.
I mean, I'm sick of it because we've had one movie that really, until it was out and officially became a hit, the movie that there was no official plans that were public as far as a movie universe by DC. Mm-hmm. We all pretty much suspected that it was the, you know, kind of dipping its toe in the water to test it out. And, you know, once it was a hit, here's the plan. You know, here's what we're planning on doing. And then it kind of spread like wildfire after that. But, I mean, we've got one Superman movie, two pictures of Batman, one picture of Wonder Woman, and one picture of Aquaman. And there is so much hate out there that is, I'm almost just excited about it, if for no other reason, just to be against the haters. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. There's nothing to go on at this point.
Mm-hmm. And they just can't stop tearing it down.
Haters gonna hate and ainers gonna ain't.
I knew that was coming. I just knew it. David McGrath said it's going to hurt stories. Studios will be bending over backwards to jam characters into other movies in the hopes of more profits. Story will be dictated by the availability of an actor / character. I think we've already seen it with Captain America 3 to a degree. I kind of agree with that. The Civil War, to me, I mean, you've got Tony Stark. They're talking Spider-Man. Hawkeye's supposed to be in it. These are all rumors. I don't know if this is true, so we're not spoiling anything because it's not confirmed as far as I know, but that's the scuttlebutt.
Hawkeye's just been confirmed, though.
Okay. Well, I mean, they have to keep telling us all that. I wish they would just leave it as a surprise, but they won't stop doing it.
Yeah, I do too. And that's the thing that bugs me about these universes, you know, that, hey, just so you know, in 5 years, this character is going to be in this movie. Get excited now. You and I agreeingly went back and forth on the plot synopsis spoilers and all this other stuff that comes out, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. That's true, but you know, the other day I was on Facebook and I posted a complaint that I didn't see that a certain character, why aren't they showing up in the next Avengers movie, only to be correct a little while later and say, no, they're actually in it. I had no idea this character was in it. So I went to IMDb, and then lo and behold, another character was in it that I had no idea was going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron. So in that instance, they actually did a pretty good job of hiding who all was going to be in it. Mm-hmm. Or not hiding it, but not broadcasting it either.
Yeah, leaving it out of all the marketing.
Right. And I'm not going to mention it here in case others don't know, and it might be a good surprise
for
them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Tom Beavis said yes. What are you laughing?
Oh, Beavis.
Hey, Beavis. fire.
Oh, I bet he's never heard that before. I bet we're the first.
That's
new. He puts it on his own. He puts that soundbite on his own podcast. I'm pretty sure.
Yesterday, DMG Entertainment and Valiant Comics announced that in the light of Marvel and DC's success, and despite Sony's failure with the Spider-Verse, they will be launching a cinematic universe based on Valiant Comics' roster of heroes, including Harbinger, Shadowman, and Exo Manowar.
Yeah, that's what we were mentioning earlier. Hey, yeah, hey.
I know. I was just letting you guys know that Tom gave us the information and also told you which comics were. You guys were trying to figure those out. I remember.
Good on you, Tom.
Yeah. Jay Edwardson, anytime there's success in anything, they're imitators. Not quite as good as the real thing, but okay. And just so everybody knows, the only reason I'm reading all these is because I forgot to send them to all these guys. So this is my penance. They will not be satisfied until Forrest Gump is jogging through the reboot of Pulp Fiction. Life is lighter. God damn it.
Well, now we know who the Gimp was.
Oh, shit, that's funny.
Mind blown.
Take the mask off, Forrest. Oh, that's funny.
So inside the briefcase was his knee braces.
Yeah. Or it was Mama. I don't know.
Or more chocolate. Infinity Stone.
It was the Infinity Stone. Scott Calgaro says, I'd have to say yes, the studios are getting carried away. The tie-ins between movies used to be nothing more than clever little Easter eggs that would delight the fans that noticed them. Like the references to Blade Runner in the movie Soldier. I remember that. That was actually really clever. By pushing to tie movies together in one cinematic universe, I think stories and overall film quality will suffer. All right. And real quick, Justin, you haven't been on the show in 2 weeks. What did you think about Blade Runner getting a sequel? I know you're a huge sci-fi guy.
I like Blade Runner. But I am not as big a fan of it as a lot of people are. I'm more in just going to just sit and wait, see how they handle it, hope for the best. But it's not a franchise that I get my panties in a bunch over.
Well, good. I don't want to know about your panties.
No, my panties are unwadded.
All right. And finally, D.A. Cheney said, I don't mind as long as it works within the scope of the movies. I mean, for Ghostbusters, maybe they're incorporated in the new films now, so there is more than one field office involved around the country. It all depends on the way the movies turn out to see whether or not it actually works or not. Yep. That pretty much is, I think, all of our consensus. That was a fun topic. And remember to like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movies and TV fans. Not just for fans of the show. It's for anybody who likes to talk about movies. And you can just find the link in the show notes. It's always there. Just go and join the group. Come on over. And also review us on iTunes. If you review us on iTunes, we'll read your review on the show. This week, we've only got one email. Justin, can you read our email, sir?
Sure. This email is from Scotch Calgon. I'm sorry, Scott Calgaro. He says, hey, hoes. As the apparent final arbiter of all things ho, I must sadly confirm that Aaron has indeed previously promised to watch Moon. I can't name the episode, and I'm not listening to all of them again. But you guys were harassing Justin about not seeing Lion King, and Aaron, who was, of course, doing the harassing, was challenged to watch Moon if Justin watched Lion King. The only reason I remember so clearly is because the conversation put Moon on my watch list. So Scott was right. Aaron was wrong. The Oracle has spoken. Move on. And please include more epic host impressions in future episodes. Rock on, Hose.
I just want to point out the impression he's speaking of is the one Scott did of you, in case you want to punch him in the
I'm sure.
Dick right now. That'd be cool. I also want to say, if you listen to the show, I said that I didn't ever said I would never watch it. I just didn't promise. And I didn't promise. I said, if Justin watches Lion King, I'll watch Moon. Justin, have you watched Lion King?
Yeah. Yes.
You fucking liar.
Prove it.
You flat out liar. You sit on a throne of lies.
Prove I didn't see it. Hakuna Matata.
Who dies? Who dies in the movie?
Is it his mom? No. Baby's dad. I don't know.
You're close. Stay through the credits for outtakes. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's the website. Or tweet us at @H_Outsider. Facebook.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Remember, you can email us if you have any thoughts on the episode or topic ideas. Feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher radio app and give us a thumbs up if you do, or through our RSS feed. Please share with your friends. If you like the podcast, share with your friends so they know that this podcast is out there. And remember, please vote for us for the podcastawards.com, movies, films, The Hollywood Outsider. Verify your vote. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. I want to thank Justin, Brian, and Scott for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It was actually Michael Schofield who died.
It was what?
It was Michael Schofield who died. Wrong series.
What are you talking about?
We're doing a Lion King Lost. Crossover series
with Prison Break.
Prison Break.
Think of that shared universe. That'd be weird. Remember, the next time you go to
an all tatted up lion.
The next time you go to a theater, grab my ears, we'll walk through prison. And the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn. Oh. Do you hear us, dickbag? Some bitch.
Hello?
Yes. I swear.
Is that you, God?
Everybody got their cavities clean?
Those girls in that picture this morning sure did. Grab your ears.
I was about to say, it's like having my outside pocket.
I was thinking completely different.
If I'm grabbing your ears, it's just so you won't pop off my dick too fast.
Don't you remember in the show where he pulled out his pockets and he carried you?
I know, but you were talking about ears.
That's the only thing I can think of that a lion has. Ears. They don't have pockets. Son of a bitch.
What, we got pantsless lions? You can have naked lions. Yeah, that's true.
Hot pockets?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Saw it on National Geographic.
Stinky.
Daryl's turning gay.
No, he's not.
He is. He's going to convert him.
No, he's going to. Daryl and Carol.
You can't trust somebody named Aaron.
Not anymore.
That's true. You can't trust somebody named Aaron. Especially a gay Aaron.
Are they wrong?